Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yeah, we're so glad you guys are here. Thanks for hopping online with us. We're beyond excited for the chance to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead, get comfy, invite your crew, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We rep in Dallas over here, but we want y'all to represent too.
Now we've got a good service plan for you guys, so let's get into it.
Enjoy service.
Enjoy.
Somebody who's in the same prison you just came out of, and you walk over to him and you let him know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have died with Christ and been raised to the newness of life. We celebrate them.
Heart, soul, mind, strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength.
Elijah is on your life. You will be the prophetic voice to your generation. You will be a royal priesthood. You will be a holy nation. You will be an alien and stranger to this world. You will be the prophetic voice to every person in your sphere of influence. Every platform that God gives you, every influence that you have, everything that you say will be the word of truth out of your mouth by the Spirit of God.
Good morning to you, OCBF Church family, and all of our online broadcast watchers and listeners. We are so glad that you have joined us this morning. We pray that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, it is time for praise and worship. Come on down to the altar. Come on down, come on down, come on down. Yes, yes, yes. The Lord calls you. Come on, turn it up, crank it up, crank it up. Put your hands together like this. Hey.
You are God, and you're in control.
Come on, sing.
Seated high,
if you know it.
You are Lord of all.
Come on, sing.
Great I am, sovereign ruler, Lion of Judah. You are God.
You are God.
Come on, sing.
And you're in control.
Seated high.
Seated high.
You are Lord.
You are Lord of all.
Great Jehovah, come on, you are good and same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This song is called Graves into Gardens, and if you don't sing, I'm gonna come out there. Y'all know this song. Come on and sing with us, all right?
Thank you.
Jesus, everything that we experience in our lives, you know how to turn it around for our good. What a great God. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God.
Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory."
You are a chosen people,
a holy nation, God's special possession,
a royal priesthood,
that you may declare the praises of Him.
That you may declare the praises of Him.
That you may declare the praises of Him.
Who called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light.
Chosen, royal, holy, marked. VBS 2023.
Hey, Next Gen family.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us today for our Next Gen Youth Service. Have you been enjoying our Ratio Game series?
I know I have. The speakers have been great, and they're giving us so many practical ways to raise our game.
We pray that your life has been impacted, and we can't wait to hear what God has to say about raising our game this week.
Okay, guys, it's time for the real in Next Gen.
Wednesday Night Lives have been amazing. Are y'all coming out this week?
Our Wednesday Night Lives give you something different every week. The first Wednesday of each month is a night of worship and prayer, and second Wednesdays are for growing deeper in God's Word.
On third Wednesdays, our very own student leaders plan the whole service, and food is always included. And finally, fourth Wednesday is our gender-specific night.
Right, that's when the ladies and guys split to have their own separate Wednesday night live and talk about topics specific to their group.
If you haven't stopped by lately, where you been? This is your sign to come out and join us for Wednesday night live.
Yeah, we want to see you this Wednesday for lots of fun and growing in faith with your peers. See you soon.
Ladylike mentees and mentors, please pick up your customized candles and ladylike tees this month. They are located in the first floor youth room.
And creative arts, your shirts are ready for pickup too. Please pick them up before the end of May.
Real men, can you believe it? You're already in your last month of spring programming.
But we do have one more special event planned for you before we head into summer. See Mr. Ryan for more details. Family, the Next Gen Youth staff has planned a VBS to remember, and this year's theme is marked.
What can we expect, you ask? Special guest artists and speakers, fun student engagements, giveaways, purple carpet interviews, a sneaker ball, food, and a special surprise, and more.
Let's just say you do not want to miss VBS, so join us June 4th through the 7th.
And to top it off, the Next Gen Youth will be in the Family Life Center for VBS this year. I can't wait. And a quick reminder before we go, let's remember to put away all phones, earbuds, and any other distractions away during our service time. And please remove all hoodies. We want to see your face.
Let's give God the respect and honor that He deserves. And if you ever need a Bible during service, just let a Kingdom servant know and they'd be happy to grab one for you.
Okay, Next Gen family, that's the real in Next Gen. Enjoy service.
Bye. Bye.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. If you're excited to be here, can you give God a hand clap of praise? All right. So we're getting ready to do offering in just a moment, but before we do that, I'm going to share something with you. And I was praying earlier about what to share. And God put this passage on my heart. It's Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And it says, "And he sat down opposite the treasurer and watched the people putting money into the offering box." So as we're giving offering, it's important to know that God is watching. God is concerned with our giving, but not how you might think. And it says, "Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which made a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who were contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had to live on.'" So Jesus is positioned, he's watching the offering, he's concerned with our giving, but not how we might think. We might think that God would be impressed with how much we give. There were guys coming in, women coming in, millionaires, right? People with a lot of money. They're dropping stacks in the basket, right? And this little lady comes along and she has a penny to put in the basket, but Jesus says that she has given more than all of those. How is that? Because they gave out an abundant bank account. She gave out of an abundant heart. I can relate to this because I remember it being time for offering and I remember being uncomfortable. Some of you may be able to relate. You reach in your pocket and there's pennies, there's nickels, there's dimes, there's quarters, but that's all you have. And you're intimidated, you're embarrassed because the people in front of you, they're dropping in five, 20s, 20s, whatever. And it's more than what you have, but Jesus is not concerned with the amount. He's concerned with your heart. This lady, she's a widow. Her breadwinner is dead. Her husband is dead. All she has is these few pennies and she places them in the basket because she understands that what the little that she has is worth more in the hands of God than it is in her pocket, in her bank account, in her hand. So she gave out an abundant heart, not an abundant bank account. And I wish that we could get this lady here and ask her the question, how is it that you had this much faith? How is it that you could give every, this is not, she gave a penny and that's not a lot, but that's all she had. How was it possible that you were able to have so much faith to give your everything? You still got to eat. I imagine that she would say that God is able to supply all of my needs, that he's able to meet my every need. Even if I give him everything, it's worth more than him having it, with him having it, than as it is with me having it. Good. That being said, if you have a little, give it to God. Yeah. Because he's not concerned about the amount. He's concerned about the heart with which you gave that amount.
Yeah.
You have a lot, give a lot. Give whatever it is that God places on your heart, unconcerned with the amount, because God is not impressed by the amount that you give. He's impressed by the amount of heart, the amount of faith that you put into that giving.
Yeah.
All right. That being said, let us stand and we're going to start from the back. Follow the kingdom servants to come and give your offering. Lord God, how we thank you for giving us the provision to be able to give. And God, for those that weren't able to give, we just thank you anyway, God. Thank you for giving them the heart to give. God, we just pray that you would take this blessing, that you would use it for your glory, use it for your kingdom work. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What's up, Next Gen Youth? Hey, look, last week we had a senior farewell speech done by Miss Justice Masters, and she did a great job. If you missed it, you can catch it on YouTube, OCBF Church on YouTube, and you can look at our youth service, and she'll have her speech in there as well. So this week, this is 2 out of 3. This young man has been serving since I've been here. He's been serving with media faithfully. He's been serving with Fuse faithfully, our leadership team. And so I'm so glad to give him this opportunity to just give you a farewell speech as he goes off to college. He's going to TCU, so he'll still be local. We'll have to keep him here and make him become a member of the church. And so we're excited. I want to introduce to you Mr. Caleb Bell.
What's up? What's up? What's up? How's everyone doing? How's everyone's day? I know a lot of stuff has been stressful, you know, school and all, but I hope y'all have been having a fantastic day, fantastic week, fantastic year overall. As you know, my name is Caleb Bell. I don't know if y'all heard that, just in case y'all forgot, though. And I get the fantastic opportunity to be giving y'all my senior speech. I'll give y'all, like, some, like, basic life information about me, and then I'll go into, like, a, like, sermonette, if you will. But I'm legally obligated to say the following statement, so for your discretion, please listen up. The following events about to be revealed may be spoilers to the great show Christian Cruising with Caleb. If you're not currently caught up, then I apologize that you may hear things that you may not know. Okay, now that the formalities are out of the way, I'd like to get started. My name is Caleb Bell, for the third time. I am a faithful disciple of the Lord, and I am the middle child of Alvin and Christy Bell, my wonderful parents. I thank them for all the things they've done for me and bringing me here just as a whole. I used to live in Memphis, Tennessee till I was 9 years of age. So I like repping, like, oh yeah, I'm from Memphis, right? Like, yeah, that's my city, even though I kind of grew up the most, like, it's been 50-50 so far. So, And I moved here when I was in the third grade, and y'all aren't going to know these schools, but I attended Cannon Elementary School, Grapevine Middle School, and now Grapevine High School, where I participated in track and field, football, debate, wrestling for three years in two of them, and then 4 years in the other two. So, and the reason I didn't, there's good reasons why I didn't go 4 years in all of them, because I would have if I had the opportunity. So for wrestling, I stayed away from wrestling for one year because it was COVID year, and that would have been really stupid of me to wrestle with someone. Like, there's a difference between like football and wrestling when you're like in a COVID season, because like football, you can at least like distance yourself after plays and like wear masks. And wrestling, there's no mask during that year. Everyone was breathing down everyone's neck, right? Sweating all over everyone. That just wasn't a smart decision. Like, come on now. And the other reason why I didn't do track and field, which is the other one I didn't do for 4 years, the next slide can explain to you why. Give it a minute. Not that one. That's not the reason, right? There's other reasons. I was very busy. There was a lot of things I had to do that year. it wasn't all me being lazy, I swear. Kyle probably put that up, didn't he? I see you out there, Kyle. Yeah, he's slick. Throughout my life, I've had lots of trials and tribulations. I'm going to point out some of the biggest ones to you. As you know, I do a lot of sports, and I'm very competitive. I was a next slide. I was a varsity running back at Grapevine High School. I love my football career. There are a few pictures, you know. I like these pictures. They're pretty nice. Also, I was a varsity debater. Move on to another slide. Yep, varsity debater. I was actually debate president at my school. We ran a nationally renowned great debate tournament called the Grapevine Classic, and that is so hard to run. It's like people out of nowhere just like locking doors. I had to like run around the entire school and like unlock them so people get in the rooms. It's a whole thing. I was also in wrestling. I was a varsity 160 class for 2 years. And then this year I went down 120 pounds to get to 157 to wrestle at a lower weight class. So all these things were extremely hard, and I love being extremely competitive at a high level. But all these things came with the natural challenges that I've had since birth. I used to be allergic to 14 different things, food allergies. Those 14 being, make sure I get this right, milk, egg, beef, pork, fish, shellfish, peanuts, tree nuts, sesame, wheat, potato, corn, soy, and mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I know, that's kind of a list, ain't it? Right. I automatically got nerfed from the very beginning. And then I also had 2 medicinal allergies, Keflex and Singulair, seasonal allergies, and asthma. So I've got 9 now instead of 14, so that's a little good, but making progress. But, you know, the more annoying thing after all these food allergies would be all the questions that you get once you get to, like, explaining it. The most common ones are, what do you eat? How are you still alive? So are you basically vegan? So you told me you haven't had insert cooked version of something I just said I was allergic to? Like, oh, you haven't had steak before? Oh, like, just like all the annoying questions that come with it. And responding to these things have been like annoying, but also difficult. But they're just God's barriers. And I can't let that stop me from doing what he wants me to do. If I can go to the last slide. So this is where the sermonette kicks in. So this is where all y'all got to really zone in, right? And pay attention, or you might miss something. I'll start from the beginning. God made us perfect. Each and every one of you has been made perfect. Wonder, it says this in the Bible, each of you is fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's placed that clear in Psalms 139. But if you need a second opinion, y'all all look great today. I can see y'all freshened up before y'all got here. Y'all all looking fantastic. But David outlines this, outlines the level of all creation of the Lord. But we were made in his image to carry out his mission. But somehow, to carry out his mission, sin, while we are trying to carry out our mission, in the beginning, sin infiltrated our lives and basically introduced death, disease, and decay into all human the whole human species through the mistake of the joint couple, Adam and Eve. So, in Genesis 32:25, Jacob went head to toe with an extremely powerful man in a wrestling match and received a hip injury in the process. Turns out his ally, his enemy, was literally God who did this deliberately. He gave Jacob an injury. You know why? Because he was testing Jacob's perseverance. Jacob went head to toe with God, received an injury, and then God immediately changes his name and puts the entire nation of God on his back. He gave him something that he could not solve by himself on the inside that tore him up, and Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life. It was something that he couldn't fix. But that's something on the inside, something internal that he could not fix, and then the Lord gave him responsibility, and Jacob still carried out his responsibility. He still carried out his role, even though he had something within him that couldn't change that the Lord gave him. Now, moving on to Job. Job is probably one of the most underrated characters in the Bible. I'm going to tell you why right now. Job, he was literally chilling in his field, right? He's just a simple farmer, loves the Lord, loves his family, loves his life. I'd love my life if I was in Job's position. Out of nowhere, some people say it was all in the same day. Some people say it was over years or months. Doesn't matter. He lost all 7 of his sons, all 3 of his daughters, all of his livestock, his house, and then he started to get rashes, bumps, and open wounds all over his body out of nowhere. Even if that happened over the span of a year, I would still be actually torn apart. Like, I don't know what I would have done. But to put that in today's terms, a gang literally came up, stole all of his possessions. Tornado flew by, took his house and his kids, because his kids died to a great wind. His wife started rebuking him, so cursing him out, saying, why are you still with this God? He's forsaken you. He's left you. And then he started getting bumps everywhere. And then, like, you know, like when you get like a bump in the middle of your hand, right? And then you, like, it's really hard to scratch it. And then you do, your hand get hot, or like you get a bump on the bottom of your foot. That's literally what happened to Job. But Job did not let the skin condition, the fact that the Wizard of Oz took his house and his kids, come and stop him from getting on his knees every single day, even though he had open wounds, and praying to the Lord, saying, thank you, Lord, I'm just so happy to be here in your presence every single day. Every single day. Dirt getting all up in his feet, right? All of his open wounds are getting covered because there's still this great wind around him. Probably clicking his heels so that he can get his house back. But he still prayed to the Lord every day. He was faithful despite all the challenges he came, even with the skin condition. He still got on his knees and prayed. Moving on to Jesus. Jesus, since I'm still in high school, I can do the math here. Still got a few days left. Jesus, he carried a 70-pound crossbar on his back on a 600-meter journey up to a hill where he would die. So he was really carrying, 60 meters takes 20 minutes on a slow pace to walk. You add 70 pounds, is another 20 minutes on your journey. Not to mention you're getting whipped, stoned, spit at, cursed at, and then you're going up. So there's elevation included. I didn't even do the calculations on that. So you got 40 minutes at least of torture, pain, and agony. That's at the physical level. And then you have the weight of the world on your back as you're about to save it. And then you're walking towards your death. one of the most gruesome and painful deaths in the world. But, and he was all, during all this, he was dehydrated, right? He had no water. He was parched. His mouth was dry. His tongue was sticky, right? All that was happening, and he had no water. He was out of breath. Yet he still was able to carry. He did not let that stop him from finishing his journey, the carrying out the mission he came here for. So, to wrap it all up, the Father breathed life into a perfect body made by a perfect being, and breathed life into an inanimate object and made it alive. That pair made an executive decision together to introduce sin and disease into the world. As a reason, but the God uses this not as a reason for us to quit, but as instruments so that we may be better. The Lord brings our attention into his intentions. I have received a large amount of those physical setbacks, such as food allergies, skin conditions, and asthma, but I do not let that be the reason I stopped wrestling every single obstacle that came in my way until I bless others with my gift. No matter how many cuts and bruises or bumps or burns you will receive, you will always see me running back to the Lord, the greatest quarterback of all time, to receive the touchdown blessing that he has in store for me and land in the green grass of righteousness. And asthma hasn't got anything on what Jesus had endured on his destiny and on his track to save each and every one of you. The marathon he walked with sin in the past, present, and future on his back, he sure wouldn't give up in 3 years like I did when I was on track. Present, and because he definitely won't be lazy enough to finish what he started. Someone's got to be happy that we have the greatest debater, the almighty negotiator, representing us so that we may fear no tournament temptation in the future. We have the almighty Father, the creator of all, the one who holds our breath, the one who created the concept of time and space. He literally created the being, each and everything that we have lived here for, and he created our purpose. He gave us purpose in life. He saved us from our sins, something that we did not know we had upon ourselves, and he gives us breath every single morning. And I am so glad that he is my Savior and my Lord, because without him, I don't know where I would be. I don't know all the things that I could have faced. I could have been dead and gone by this time right now. I don't know all the circumstances that could have happened, but the Lord saved me long before I knew I even needed saving. That has been episode 140 of the season senior speech featuring OCBF Church. Tune in tomorrow for the episode called The Final, The Attack of Anatomy and Physiology. That's been my speech, but I wanted to document this moment. So if y'all could stand up and get all around right here, I want to get a quick picture of everyone and get this experience together. Don't be shy, I need everyone here. So I see all y'all waiting. Go ahead, get up.
Where's the cheese? See cheese.
Show them cheese.
So those pearly white.
I shall not yellow. Want.
Thank y'all very much.
There you go. Okay, y'all. Can y'all give it up one more time for Caleb Bell? And going to TCU. That's awesome, man. So I went to Texas, so I can't say Go Frogs. I went to UT, Hook 'em Horns. That's Hook 'em Horns. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I know y'all not booing me. Not too much of my horns now. Well, how's everybody doing today? It's been a while since I seen y'all, man. Some of y'all got taller. Breath still stank, though. I'm just playing. So how many more weeks do you guys have in school?
2 weeks.
Hey, y'all, two. All right, now. Y'all sound excited. All right, what's y'all's plans like? What are y'all doing? What's going on? Oh, so you guys, yeah. Y'all ain't gonna do nothing but just go home and watch Netflix. That's literally it. That's all y'all doing. Y'all going on a cruise?
Yeah.
Oh, no. 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 That can't be Mr. Ryan. I can't swim, so. Okay, y'all. So, this month, we've been talking about what? Confidence, right? And the theme is raise your game. Can anybody recite the verse of the month? That's good. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Right? And that's our verse for the month, y'all. And so it's good to see y'all again. I'm glad to be preaching to you guys again. It's been a minute. You guys excited for VBS? Yeah, I say y'all excited for VBS.
Yes.
We put a lot of work into that, okay? So need y'all to fake it at least. Let me get started with a word of prayer, and then we'll go into the word. Dear Father, God, we thank you that you have all, you've put us here, Lord, for such a time as this. Lord, we're excited to hear what you have to say through your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. These are all the blessings I ask in your Son's name, we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this month we've been talking about boldness, and I want you guys to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 is going to be where we park, verses 1 through 13. But I want to give you guys a little background on this story about Peter and John. Everybody say Peter and John. Anybody know who Peter is? Y'all do know who Peter is, right?
Yeah.
What did Peter do? He walked on water. He was a disciple. Anybody else? He cut off somebody's ear. Some of y'all will do that in here. You'll do that.
He denied Jesus.
Now, who is John? Anybody know John? There is a lot of Johns. He was a disciple. Let's just leave it there. He was a disciple, okay? So Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, and we're going to learn about these two characters and their boldness. Everybody say boldness. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. But I want to give you guys a little background real quick before we get started, okay? Just kind of set the picture for you. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 16 real quick in Acts chapter 3 so I can set the pace for you guys, okay? All right, so it says this. This is Peter speaking in this temple court, okay? And we pick this story up. At this time, Peter and John just got through healing someone that was lame. That means he couldn't walk. And this man, Peter and John, come across as they're going and making their way through Jerusalem, and they see this man standing here, and he's lame, y'all, and he can't walk. So this is the equivalent of us going to the same Walmart, right? The same Target, the same Kroger. Y'all go to Kroger? Y'all too young for Kroger. Y'all don't go to Kroger. Y'all go to Kroger? Okay, my man. And right, this is also the equivalent of us taking the same route, right, to church or to home or to school every day. And there, this person is, this same person with a sign in his hand and says, please help. Need money. Please help. Need money. Have you guys ever been in a car with your parents and you're driving and you're at a red light and there this homeless person is like right here next to you and you do the best you can not to make eye contact? You're just staring straight. They're like, your mama like, mom, can we? No, 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 just stare straight ahead. He's not there. Right? A bunch of us have done that. A bunch of us have done that. And that's the equivalent of this lame beggar, right? He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have any money. He's lame, so he can't walk. And so every time people are walking past this man, he's asking them for one thing, money. I need money. I need money. And so Peter and John just so happened to be walking past this man. This is after Pentecost. This is after the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, right? And so God has equipped them with this boldness that they need to carry out the Great Commission, right? And so they get to this court, and they see this man. It's beside this thing called the Beautiful Gate. And they're walking past this man, and he reaches out and he says, hey, you got money? Like, I just need some money, man. I'm lame. I can't walk. And Peter says to this man, he says, look at me. Peter and John says, look at me. Like, I need to see your eyes. And Peter says something strange. He says, look, man, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. So he doesn't give the lame beggar what he wants, but he gives him what he needs. He gives him what he needs. And after this point, the disciples, y'all, are making noise, right? They're like the Dallas Cowboys. They out here beating everybody. Right? They're beating the Eagles, the Redskins, just living and smacking them, right? Not too much on my Cowboys, because I heard there's a Saints fan in the building. Y'all are totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. We'll debate after this. They get to this point, and the disciples, y'all, are making noise. They're healing the blind. The lame are walking. Everything that Jesus did during his ministry, they're able to accomplish now. Okay? And people are starting to get a little jealous of the disciples. And guess who? The usual suspects, right, in the Bible, if you read the Gospels, who was this jealous group that could never get over Jesus and the things that he was doing? The Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? And so we see, my question to you is this. Telling others about Jesus can be difficult, can it not? Y'all, especially in this age, can it not be hard to tell people about Jesus? It's hard, isn't it? We are faced with all kinds of challenges. And as the world continues to become increasingly intolerant, right, to absolute truth, there are people out here that says, the only truth is there is no truth. That's what people say. Truth is subjective. It's what you make it. Have you guys ever heard people say, what's my truth? As if you had something to do with the truth, it's almost like if you made it up, like it's your truth. Does anybody know what that means? By the way, your truth, what does that mean? Y'all yell it out. What do you think the culture means when they say it's my truth? What are they saying? What'd you say? Yep. She said, do as thou wilt. I'm gonna do whatever I wanna do. And I don't care who has to say what about it. It's interesting because that's a quote that comes from a man named Aleister Crowley, right? Y'all know the Illuminati and all that stuff? Yeah. That was a man that said, the only truth is that there is no truth, and I should be able to do whatever I want when I want to do it. Y'all, that's the generation that we're living in right now. The culture, because they recognize who makes absolute truth claims, guess who the culture takes dead aim at? Christians. Christianity, right? It's interesting, man, because there are Muslims, right? There are Jehovah's Witnesses. There are Sikhs. There are Buddhists, right? And yet, when Christianity is brought up in a conversation, for some reason, people start to get really hostile. Have y'all noticed that? On the gram, at school, as soon as you bring up Jesus Christ, and that he's the only way to God, all of a sudden you got an issue on your hands. And so Jesus doesn't call you to be God general. He calls you to be God specific. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right? And so my question to you is this. Why do people reject good news? That's what the gospel is, right? The Bible says the gospel is good news, right? So why wouldn't people receive good news? Because you know what it means? The only religion in the history of the world that demands total allegiance is Christianity. And they know that if I come to Christ, I am no longer the authority of my life. Jesus is. And because I want to do what I want, I won't come to Christ. right? Because people want to do whatever they want to do, right? As we look into this text, I want you guys to see something. And here's one of the reasons why people have a hard time accepting who Jesus is, right? Peter and John are preaching the gospel, and we'll pick up this story in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And it says this: "And as they were speaking to the people," Peter and John, "the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees," everybody said the Sadducees, "came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." So they're mad that Peter, everybody say, you mad? They're mad. They're mad because Peter and John are preaching in the name of Jesus. This is, by the way, the one that they just crucified. But guess what? This is also the one who just resurrected, which is really interesting for me. And it's interesting because it says in this text that the Sadducees came upon them. The Sadducees were a group of religious leaders, right? A group of religious priests that did not believe in the resurrection. They believed in being a good person. They believed in keeping the law. They believed in walking old ladies across the street. They believed in going to church. But they did not believe in the one thing that saves them, which is the resurrection of Christ. Which is really, it's interesting, man, to me. And so, verse 3, it says, "And they arrested them." They arrested Peter and John "and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." So, y'all, they don't put Peter and John in custody because they just got through slapping some folks. They put Peter and John in custody, in jail, because of a word that they spoke. Don't y'all see that today? There are people mad that you're preaching Jesus Christ, and it's almost as if you've done something to them. But guess what you have done? You have done something. One of the reasons why people don't understand or come to the faith or come to Jesus Christ is because you preaching his names disturbs their plans. It's a disturbance to preach the gospel. It messes up what I want to do in my own life, because I know there's this God who, if he stayed dead, he would be irrelevant to my life. If Jesus never came out of the grave, we could do whatever we want, because he's not God. He didn't rise from the dead. He's just like all the other prophets that came before him. But the resurrection says, I am God. And guess what he says? He said before, y'all, he even predicted that he would rise. And he says, tear this temple down, and I'm going to build it up again in 3 days. Y'all, he's predicting his death. Jesus tells people, and then he shows them what he's going to do. We often show and tell, right? Jesus tells and he shows. That's more powerful to me. Verse 4, "But many of those who had heard the word believed. So although Peter and John were thrown into prison, put in isolation to keep them from preaching the word of God continues to go forth. It continues to go forth. It continues to reach the people that it was called to reach. But many of those who had heard the word," everybody say the word, "believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. Check this out. The gospel will either bring peace or disturb peace. It will either bring peace or disturb peace. Growing up in my life, when I heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it was not until I got into college. Y'all, and I was doing my dirt, not gonna lie to you. I was doing whatever I wanted to do. I was living my life the way that I wanted to live it. Going to parties. I ain't really go to parties like that. Getting drunk. They call it Hen Dog, Hennessy. I was drinking all that stuff, right? Wasn't a smoker like that. But I had plans each and every Saturday after the game, after we got through just upsetting Oregon or Washington. I'm like, man, I'm gonna turn up tonight. Then all of a sudden, that Tuesday, there was a guy on campus by the name of Matt Bible. Y'all, no joke, that's his first and last name, Matt Bible. I still have him in my phone to this day. It's crazy. And so I walk up to this man, and I'm walking on campus. And at this point, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. And as I'm walking on campus, there's this big crowd around, right? And I ask, hey, man, what's going on? What's everybody gathered around about? Like, what's happening? And this guy looks over to me, says, he's preaching the good news of the gospel. I said, so why are people mad? And he says, because it interrupts people's plans. In other words, y'all, if Jesus was so irrelevant as the culture claims, they would leave him alone. They wouldn't be mad when we talk about Christ. They wouldn't be mad when you proclaim the resurrection. But they are mad. And one of the things I recognize about this is that y'all ever seen those little bugs, right, on the ground as you walk into your house or in some of y'all rooms right now? He crawling. She ain't here. He over here. He over here doing all of this. Cockroaches. Right? You guys ever step on a bug? And then for some reason, after you walk away, you just kind of make sure it's there. You kind of, is it still? Maybe I need to. Right? You step on it, right? And the reasons why you step on it is because you want to make sure it's dead. You want to make sure it's not still kicking, right? So it's interesting, man. For 2,000 plus years, people are trying to step on Christianity, but it won't die. It won't die, right? And if Christianity is so irrelevant to the culture, why are people still stepping? Why are they still stepping? Why, what's the issue? It's because their conscience is disturbed. If Jesus rose from the grave, that means he's Lord. That also means that I'm accountable to him. And I want to be the boss of my own life. And so do the Pharisees. And so do the Sadducees. He's not good news for them. The gospel will either bring peace or disturb peace. People will either be happy to hear it or hate that they heard it. People will either be happy to receive this good news of the gospel, that there is a man named Jesus that came and lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died, and that those who would put their trust in him would not perish but have what? Eternal life. Y'all, don't you want to live forever? There is something in the conscience of your heart and of your mind right now that's saying, I don't want to die. I want to live. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:12 that God has set eternity in your heart. So that you may not find out what is coming after this. There's a God-sized hole that God has put in all of our hearts. And so we know there is something after this. And it doesn't matter if the Sadducees deny this, it's still true. People will either be happy to hear the gospel or hate that they heard it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It says this, y'all, and I want to share this with you because it's so profound and it speaks to the reality of the Christian life. This is what it says. To the one in aroma, but to this person that we're preaching the gospel, the one that receives the gospel as peace, man, finally, I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? So there is people out here that are happy to hear the gospel. And I remember when I came home from college and I got saved by Matt Bible, and he preached the gospel to me, and I turned away from sin, and now I'm living for Jesus, right? And I'm telling all of my friends, my homies in the locker room or anybody that'll hear me, man, like, bro, Jesus is Lord, man, bro, you gotta leave that, bro, you gotta forsake sin, you gotta live for Christ, right? And they're looking at me like, no, like, bro, you good? I'm like, y'all don't understand what I'm saying? You can have eternal life. And they're like, bro, no, to be honest, fam, I just wish you would shut up. They got annoyed with me, which is interesting because it's the same thing that the Sadducees are annoyed with when Peter and John are preaching. And I experienced this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, it also says this. Look at this. This is Jesus talking. So if anybody had any kind of inkling as to why Jesus came on this earth, this verse tells you exactly what his purpose is. Do not think, this is Jesus. Everybody say, this is Jesus. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus actually came to divide folks. That's what the gospel does. And I recognize this in my own family. When I came home from college and I preached the gospel to my mom. Y'all, she looked at me like I had 8 heads. And she was like, born again, holiness, sin. What you talking about, son? Right? And we all went to church. Now, by the grace of God, my mom is saved now. But at the dinner table, me and my sister, who also got saved when I came home, which is, man, I'm so happy about that still. I don't know if you guys, my sister, the one that performs up here sometimes. So I had the pleasure of being able to baptize her. I preached the gospel to my sister. And there was one day where she just changed. And she said, everything I ever knew was wrong. And so we moved next to my mom. So me and my sister are talking about Jesus like just all the time, right? And we love him. And y'all, I can tell you this. The way you know that you have the Spirit of God is that you're around people that have his Spirit and you don't want to leave. You want to be around them forever, right? And so me and my sister are talking about Jesus and everything like that. And my mom, you know, after I'm preaching the gospel to my sister and to my sister gets saved, and we get to my mother and my father. As I'm preaching the gospel to my mom, she just pretty much tells me, I don't really want to hear that. And at the dinner table on Christmas, she says something to me, y'all, that I'll never forget. Because even though I was really discouraged, I'm like, man, Lord, I really don't want my mom to perish. I really don't want my dad to perish. I really don't want them to go to hell. And so what I would do after I would have these conversations with my mother and father, after seeing their face and their countenance, like, yeah, man, I'm good. I would go to my career. I would go to my home, go to my room. I would talk to my wife and I would pray. I said, Neek, I don't know if my mom and dad know Jesus. I just want them to be saved. And you know what she tells me? She says, do what you can do. Pray. So I keep praying for my mom and dad. I'm praying for my mom and dad over and over and over again. And y'all, Christmas morning, something changed. Something happened. I'm sitting down at the Christmas table with my wife, with my siblings. And my mom says this one thing I'll never forget. She said, the first time I heard the gospel is when my son came home. And she gave her life to Christ. And y'all, it's such a blessing, man, to know. Yeah, y'all can clap for that. I appreciate it. But y'all, check this out. If I was not bold enough to preach the gospel to my own mother, who raised me in a Christian home, she never gets saved. So there's somebody that God is calling you to be bold to. Their salvation depends on your obedience. Depends on it. People will either love the truth you tell about Jesus or hate you for telling it. And y'all, there was this one thing I remember. My wife and I, my daughter just turned 2 years old yesterday. So she's, Raya. She looks just like her mom. She looks nothing like me. It's crazy. Y'all don't have to lie to me. I know. Y'all have already told me like 8 times. I walk in, y'all, to the church one day. I'm dropping Raya off at daycare. I walk in and this woman just looks out of nowhere and says, all of you, all of her, none of you. I'm like, dang, okay, I appreciate that. I know she don't look like me, but I love her so much and I'm blessed to have her in my life. And I remember this one story that me and my wife like to tell sometimes. Raya was asleep one day, and I wish I had this picture, y'all. Raya was asleep one day, and she begins, we have to wake her up to go to school. And so Raya's asleep. And we wake her up pretty much every morning. Sometimes she wakes us up. But we get to this point where we wake her up, and y'all, the funniest thing happened. Dominique wakes her up, and y'all, this look of disgust Raya had on her face. Y'all, she turned around. She said, and it let me know one thing. People who love the truth don't mind being woken up. But people who hate the truth just want to stay asleep. People who love the truth of the gospel desire to be woken up by him. But people who hate the gospel, who hate Jesus, they just want to stay asleep. Don't wake me up. Don't touch me. Leave me alone with this Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear anything about it. That's the reality. Verse 3-5, it says this, and they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, Peter and John. For it was already evening, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem. Verse 6, with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And so after the gospel is being preached and people are getting saved, there is actually this these religious leaders that come behind Peter and John and try to stop the message of the gospel. Have y'all ever known people like that? They're just hating because you got something good? Right? Why would someone want to stop others from being saved? It's because their salvation tells them that they need to be saved too. That's what that means. And so some people will try to stop you from being bold for Jesus by using persecution. Y'all, in the first century, Romans and religious leaders, this was their only tactic. It was persecution. They used physical persecution like flogging and threats and prison in order to hinder the spread of the message of the gospel. And I feel like I know people like that today. Cancel culture. Right? People who you're proclaiming the love and the truth of the gospel to who really don't want to hear it. And in fact, y'all, you know what they're calling it now? They're calling it hate speech. They're calling it hate speech. We would tell people about the love of God and they reject it. What kind of persecution do we fear today? Because we're not getting beaten, let's face it. We're not like people in China or people in Jerusalem even at this point that are getting persecuted for their faith. And so many of us, when we walk through these doors, it's just normal. Y'all, when you go to China, this is a blessing to be able to gather and fellowship with the saints like this. It's a blessing to be able to come to the Lord and fellowship with like-minded believers, y'all. Some of you think this is normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. What kind of persecution do we fear today? Losing followers on Instagram or TikTok. What are y'all on? Y'all ain't on Snapchat, are you? Who got Snapchat in here? We're going to kick you out. Get out now. You're afraid, right? You're afraid of losing followers. You're afraid of losing friends. You're afraid of losing status. You're afraid of losing family members. You're afraid of being canceled. Y'all, when I started preaching the gospel, when God saved me, I was on fire for Jesus. I'm still on fire for him now. And what I used to do, I used to use social media. One of my homies said, bro, just use social media as a platform to tell others about Jesus. I was like, bro, that's dope. And so I start doing all these stories, right? Start telling people about the love of God, how to turn away from sin, how to live according to righteousness, how to forsake the things of the world, right? And y'all, the strangest thing happened. I was a D1 recruit, right? I was the top two receiver in the nation. I tied the national record for the most punt returns in high school history. I have the state record now. I don't think nobody gonna break it. I hope not. That's all I got left, y'all. And the strangest thing happened when I started preaching the gospel. I look up one day, I go to Instagram. I had 5,500 followers, right? I had 4,000. In a span of a month, I lost 2,000 followers on Instagram because I'm being bold and telling other people about Jesus. But in the midst of that, y'all, something strange happens. Although these people left me, they left my handle, they left following me. Let's face it, y'all, it's just social media, right? But most of us have attached our identity to it. And so when somebody doesn't like you on social media, you think it means that they don't like you totally. They don't like you, right? Because we've attached our identity to something that can be taken away. But guess what, y'all? That's not confidence. Confidence is faith. Confidence is an inward belief. Y'all, confidence is something that cannot be taken away from you, no matter the circumstance or the situation. So if you have something in your life right now that you're putting your trust in that can be taken away from you, you don't have confidence. That's not real confidence. And so people say to me all the time, Ryan, you preach this Jesus. My teammates, I'm preaching to them about the love of God. And they're like, Ryan, you're preaching this Jesus all the time. I don't see him. I will believe him if I saw him. That's something that the Sadducees would say. And I say, man, you come across things every day that you don't see, and yet you believe those. But you don't believe Jesus? I actually think it's convenient for you to not believe in who he is, because if you say, oh, there's no more evidence for Christ, or what about all the other religions in the world, or what about the fact that we haven't seen Jesus? I said, well, man, you can't live life if you don't have faith. So I guess Jesus is not the one for you, man. And so we have to ask ourselves this question. Do I believe Jesus according to what I see? Or do I believe Jesus according to who he is? According to his word, right? And Peter and John, y'all, they have this inward belief, y'all, that can't be taken away. So although they're thrown in prison, they can still have faith. They can still be bold for Christ. Although they're being persecuted by the world, they can continue to live for him. And this last thing I want to say to you guys, things that can hinder boldness is keeping our eyes on man. But here's how we can have it. And it says this, by being filled by the Holy Spirit. When you're filled by the Spirit, y'all, what that basically means is it's talking in this term, and it says, be filled by the Spirit. Be filled by the Spirit. But how can a Christian be filled by the Spirit? Doesn't he already have the Holy Spirit? What Jesus, through Paul, is actually saying is that if you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, then you will be able to be bold in any circumstance. You have to give God control over everything in your life. That is what it means to be filled by him. So if you have something now that you're holding on to, you can't be bold for him. If you have something right now that you're putting your trust in other than Jesus, when an opportunity to speak about Christ comes up, you won't say anything. You'll keep your mouth closed. Right? Has anybody ever been in a situation where you felt that pressure to speak up at school, at work, or whatever it is about Jesus? You hear your coworker talking about religion or life after death, and you know the one who has given you life. You know you have the answer to their question, but you chose to stay silent. Has that been anybody in here? What you needed was the Holy Spirit to fill you so that you can tell others, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I be afraid? He is my confidence. And so I would tell this atheist, I would tell this Sadducee this right here. Thank God that we cannot see Jesus. I'm so thankful that I can't see Jesus. Do you want to know why? Because that means nobody can take him away from me. Nobody. Not a circumstance, not persecution, not losing followers, not having family members that really don't want to rock with me anymore. This is the confidence that you need to live the Christian life. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, y'all, then in any circumstance, you can overcome it. You can have the boldness of Peter and John to continue to live the Christian life, even if everyone around you leaves. And that's my question to you. Why are you following Jesus right now? Is it because your parents brought you over here? Is it because you actually gotta be here? One parent asked me, she said, Ryan, why doesn't, you know, all of these kids are leaving the faith. I said, well, let me tell you this. Most kids, I believe, aren't leaving the faith. They're coming out. Most kids never had a faith to leave. Is your faith your own? Can you be bold for Jesus, even if it means that everybody that you went to church with at Next Gen Youth, five years from now, they're all atheists. They don't come to Christ. They're not following him. They're not living for him. Can you still continue to live for Jesus, even if it means the person that's sitting right next to you leaves? That's the test of true Christianity. Is it about the numbers? If it's about the numbers, when God calls you to be bold, you're forsaken. But if it's about Jesus, then although everybody walks away from Christ, you're still there. And that's really something special I want to tell you guys, for you seniors. Because it's time. It's time, y'all, to be bold for Jesus apart from this congregation. It's time to be bold on your own. But Jesus says something in Matthew 28 that I don't want you guys to ever forget. He says this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so y'all, that's my takeaway. Do you have the courage and the confidence that only Jesus can give to be bold in your generation? Somebody right next to you needs you to be bold. Somebody at your house needs you to be bold. Somebody at your school needs you to be bold, y'all. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and you'll be able to do what you can't do. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us to live the Christian life. And it's so hard to live the Christian life because there are so many people who oppose it. There are so many people who don't live for you. There are so many people who are hostile to you. But Lord, I just pray for everybody under the sound of my voice that they would right now take a stand like Peter and John and be bold for you. If you're in here today and you say, Mr. Ryan, not only have I struggled with boldness, but I've struggled with sin. Because Jesus isn't the Lord of my life, I can never be bold for him. Because Jesus isn't the captain and the quarterback of my life, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what direction life is taking me. I feel like I have no purpose. If that's you in here and you desire to know this Jesus who gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding and gives you a purpose-filled life, I want you to raise your hand. It's good. See you. It's good. It's good. For those of us in here who say, Mr. Ryan, I'm a Christian. I've backslided. I've sinned. I fell into sexual immorality. I've forsaken you for a season. And Lord, my life has been hell because I've distanced myself from you, because I've grieved the Holy Spirit. That's you in here, and you're a Christian, and you say, Mr. Ryan, I want to get back in alignment with Jesus Christ. I want to live a Holy Spirit-filled life, filled with boldness, filled with courage. Because y'all, believe it or not, it is the Christians that God has called to be bold. It's us. That's you. I want you to raise your hand. You say, I'm a Christian in here. Mr. Ryan, I need help with boldness. I need help to proclaim the truth of the gospel, no matter who has to say what about it. It's good. We see you. We got our kingdom servants over here. We got one right here. That's good, y'all. That's good. You guys can open your eyes and give yourself a round of applause. Look at your neighbor and say, be bold. Say, be bold. Say, I'm watching you. I go to school with you. Be bold. I can tell. No, you ain't got to say all that, y'all. All right, y'all. So, I love you guys. Be bold for Jesus. Preach the gospel with confidence. If you don't have it, the Holy Spirit can give it to you, okay? All right. Love you guys. Y'all free to go.
Man, that was some good word right there.
For real, I know I'm ready to put it into action in my life, and we want to encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, there were so many gems in that message, so take what stood out to you and see how you can apply it in your life this week.
Now, Blake, can you pray for us?
Yes. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for everyone who is viewing online with us. I pray that we have a great week at school and that we just push through before the summer. I thank you for the reminder that our confidence lies in you and not those around us, Lord. And Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you log on next week, 11 a.m. Central.
We can't wait to see you next time. Till then, have a great week.
God bless.
God bless.